welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 237. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I've had a few sound checks today so far, so let's just get to the show. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 137, we entitled, hashtag, I hate people. Sounds like my fucking day-to-day life, still, 2 years later. At MemDebian ran out for the villain play catch-up and hit summer movie draft 2016. I forgot who won that year. I want to say it's not RG, might have been me. I think I've won the most back-to-back ones, and I just won 2018's. We spoke about that. We hit work talk and then roll an article provided by one of our listeners from Twitter Love and shoutouts. Teacher fired for twerking on a holiday day off. Okay, just thinking about that again. It's your fucking day off, dude. If I want to have a beer on my fucking day off, have a beer. If you want to twerk on your day off, twerk your fucking ass off. That's pretty much what it is. We also hit one of those ones from our listeners. Dating disasters. What works in movies fails in real life. Everything fails for me in real life as far as dating. So, yeah, I totally feel that one. I forget which listener tossed that out to us. I either want to say Lisa or Lynn, East Coast girls from New Hampshire, I want to say. I always forget where everyone's at. But, yeah, that we pull up articles and you guys can send us articles or send me articles now still. If it's intriguing enough or interesting enough for me to dissect, definitely do that. Hit me up. Hit RG up as well. Like, we are down to talk about anything and everything on the deep dives. And I can definitely do that here as well. It's just more tougher to do, I guess, because I have very little information. And then it turns out I have way more information than I think I'm going to walk in with. We hit comic talk. Comic news, we had a Warner Brothers Batman solo film, we had a Warner Brothers considering R-rated Suicide Squad sequel, we had Avatar movie, Avatar 4 movie sequels starting in 2018, so the filming, we had The Rock and Kevin Hart in Jumanji remake, we had Wolverine 3 to be set in the future, so that was Logan, we had Star Wars original anthology set to return to the big screen. I want to watch those in the big screen once more. Han Solo might have found its lead. Fear of the Walking Dead renewed for season 3. Neil Gaiman to write Good Omens TV miniseries. I love the fuck out of Neil Gaiman. His writing is just so fucking great. And we're still waiting on that one. We hit Luke Cage will be the Wire of Marvel Television. I still haven't seen it. Defenders adds Daredevil, executive producers as showrunners. Hit Benedict Cumberbatch, Doctor Strange trailer, and DC Comics Rebirth one-shot featuring one death and three returns. I forget what the fuck that one was. We hit board game and comic reviews. Boss Monster, so Adam reviews that or reviewed that. He was a big board game guy and he always tried to get me into him. We played a few, but like the quicker ones, like the card-based games. Adam was always dope about that. He's on something right now. I want to say Warhammer. I miss the dude. And I love the dude still. By the way, he posted a picture on his Facebook of him and his wife, like painting these caricatures, I guess. Very dope. And he was always the board game guy. So, that I met Hector because of him was fucking really cool. And he brought something different to the table, which was always dope. We hit Batman Superman review number 31. We hit Black Road number 1. All New X-Men number 8. Amazing Spider-Man number 10. Spidey number 4. Honorable mention. And Moon Knight number 1. I believe Jeff Lemire was writing that one at the time. But yeah, those were what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Constitutes 2 years. All right, bullet points I'm going to jump into real quick. I have a lot of news to get through, I think. I've had a busy week and just busy working in general. So I'll let you know. You guys let me know, I guess, how I sound and how bad this episode is. First thing I'm going to hit is going to be the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2018 update. We are in week 9, I believe, of the NFL. And the guys we have in there are just fucking dope as hell. And I would be remiss if I didn't fucking talk about these cats and how dope they are. So this is how our rankings look so far. Nightwing goes Jock is in 10th place. Gold-Blooded Rick, or Gold-Blooded, is in 9th place. Gabriel's team is in 8th. The 2OCOC2, Alan from the 2OC podcast, is in 7th place. Bobby's team, my boy from The Office, is in 6th place. Tussin Giants, David, you are the returning champion, so I still need to get you on a show before the season ends. And then whoever wins this one is going to be my guest host at the end of the season. We have Who Will Survive, Paul from, I believe, Buffalo. Great guy. Who Will Survive is in 4th place. It's fucking Molten. Sadie, he's been on the show before, is in 3rd place. Yours truly at For the Villain is in 2nd place. And in 1st place is going to be Los Numeros Unos, and that guy is my co-host on Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. Again, just something I wanted to toss out. I wanted to toss it out mid-season last week. But that's how we're looking so far. These guys are dope and just fun to talk shit with. Always good times in those chat rooms. Next bullet points I'm going to hit is going to be I have to talk about, in the vein of holidays, just creeping up on me, the end of the year, best of 2018 show is coming out for me. This is the best of list. So movies, games, comics, music, TV shows, whatever I find interesting. I compile a list just like every other person does everywhere you look or turn. But this is my personal opinions of them, and I'm going to fight for them. Like, I loved doing it with Adam. This is the first time I'm going to be doing it solo. I'm straight up. I mean, I love bouncing ideas off of people. If I could get him on the show for that one, would be dope. I got to reach out to him. But I need to compile my list. Like, I was always on his ass. Like, hey, dude, yeah, end of the year is coming up really fucking soon. It'd be nice to have your list. So we would shoot back and forth and we would fight like, okay, why do you think yours is number one? And we give our top four, top three, top five of everything. And we bash everything. It's just something I have to work on this side. And just more work is always fun for me. And also now thinking of that, it's also going to be coming up on the Comic Syndicate episode 250 soon. This is episode 237. I normally do something for the 50s, and fuck me, it's creeping up on me, and I don't know what I'm going to do, what the fuck I want to do, or what I'm going to do in general, as far as like a contest, giveaway, get more listeners involved, like reach out to people, like ask me questions, like fuck it, let's have it be fun, let's have just more interactive, I guess, is the best way to put it. Last one is going to be interesting. Sad news. Today, Stan Lee passed away today. It was interesting. I was slammed at the office. It's Veterans Day today. And, I was at the office and it's November 12th. What? Rosalind was the first person to hit me up. One of my coworkers, she's like, dude, did you know Stan Lee died? And I'm slammed. And I'm literally by myself. Like, Victoria's off. Carl's off. RG is off. So I'm there. And I'm like, I don't have time to look up anything. My phone, news, anything whatsoever. That she was the first person to hit me up was cool because it's not her world. Rosanna was out of the office. She emailed me like, dude, Stan Lee died. Carl texted me the same thing. Like, my sister, Donna, fucking texted me like, dude, I'm sorry, Stan Lee died. Was dope. Like, so many people were hitting me up and reaching out to me like, dude, this is your fucking world. Like, I'm sorry. And it was kind of cool and interesting. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit. Oversaturation of his autograph is out. Homeboy was dealing with a lot of shit. And I have stories about dude. And I got to have Moses, my brother, on sometime to give a story. Happy-go-lucky guy, yes. Oversaturation with his autograph, yes. What he did for comic books, pop culture, is fucking huge. I'm into comic books. I'm into pop fucking culture. Give me Voltron all fucking day. Give me Transformers all fucking day. Give me comic books. Give me fucking cool fucking shit. Give me football all day. Give me cool shit that I'm interested in and intrigued by. And I can fucking talk about fucking shit. Politics I can too, but that's more of a sore subject. But just really cool that people were hitting me up. And I, again, was busy, so I went out for my smoke break at the office, and I jumped on Facebook. It was one of my boys' birthdays, happy birthday, so someone on there, or since I was on there, I started scrolling through Facebook a bit. It was dope as fuck to see so many people, I guess, post pictures of Stan Lee, like, rest in peace, like, you're going to be missed, like, thank you for these characters, like, people that love the fuck out of these movies was beautiful to see. Like, yes, I'm from a different world because I know of all the characters he did create, legit, straight up, and I know the world. To see so many people, again, just jump out and give homage to him was beautiful. Like, you know, it is cool. It's okay to like this shit. It was, again, beautiful. So I'm pretty sure everyone was posting up stuff all over the place. And he created fucking everyone in the Marvel Universe, just about. The X-Men, the Fantastic Four, Iron Man, Black Panther, like, all these characters. It was dope. These characters that I still love the fuck at him. Doctor Doom, like, these characters. Thor, Iron Man, everyone. The Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man. Like, these characters that are always going to resonate. Was, again, beautiful to see. He created these characters, he was a writer. So him and Steve Ditko Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, all of them, really, just created so many characters that are still ingrained in, now, in today's society, and guess what? It is acceptable. So even though you weren't born from a generation of, oh, I know these characters, I fucking know these characters. So to see so many people that aren't of that world, to see that outcry was, again, beautiful to me. I'm a simple fucking guy, and it made me feel good. You know, like, shit. Do I want to talk about this, you know, on the podcast? I have to. I mean, I have to. So Sonny hit me up. A lot of people hit me up all over the place, and it's really fucking dope. Again, so thank you guys, and he will be missed. And Emma, everyone, just dope people, down to earth. I think Lynn hit me up too, but yeah, everything is ingrained there. And learning about artists and writers and appreciating art as a youngster. Like, these guys are drawing some cool stuff. But then getting older and appreciating writing and writing styles was beautiful. And it's a form of literature. In the long run, it really fucking is. And it lit a fire. I'm not an artist by any stretch of the imagination. But as far as writing, I'm not even a fucking writer, but that they gave me a spark. I have this podcast for a fucking reason. Because I love this shit, and I care about this shit. And because it's not just cool, it's like, it's fun. It's a form of escapism. And it's like picking up a book and reading a fucking book. It's getting lost in a movie. It's getting lost in a fucking song. It's always fucking beautiful. It's always gorgeous. And it's open to interpretation. And that's beautiful. All right. That's all I got for bullet points. So yes, Stanley passed away today. And just all you guys are fucking dope, awesome. Brad, I got a lot of news to get through, so I'm going to cut it here. I will be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate. I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I am back with some comic talk. I'm going to try to go through this as quick as I can. My reviews, I think, are okay, but you guys let me know. First one I'm going to hit is going to be TV movies. Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson to reunite for Hitman's Bodyguard sequel. I still need to watch part one. I love the fuck out of both of these actors. So is it a good idea? Fuck it. If part one did so well, I'm down for part two. Although I just said I haven't seen part one. Unproduced Night of the Living Dead sequel heading to theaters in 2019. An unproduced sequel to the Night of the Living Dead from the film's original writers and producers will release in 2019. I'm a fan of zombies, old school zombies especially, but I'm down for that. I mean, Walking Dead is played out to me. It really is. And I've only seen like 2-3 seasons of The Walking Dead over it, honestly, already. And I love Robert Kirkman, the writer and creator of it, but just not my thing anymore. Next one is going to be Breaking Bad movie set to begin production this fall. So it's going to be Breaking Bad movie. Now, the details of it, we do not know. Is it going to be Heisenberg? What's going to happen? Is it going to be Pinkman? What's his name? Jesse, what is going to be the process and thought behind it? You know what? I loved the fuck out of this show. So give me a movie. Is it necessary? No, but give me a fucking movie. I just loved the fuck out of it. Next one's going to be Captain Marvel's Brie Larson wants to make a Metroid movie. I know it sounds odd, but for Halloween, Brie Larson dressed up as the Nintendo character, Samus Aran. And it looked fucking dope. And she's like, hope not, I want to make that movie. And someone asked her, dude, who are you? It's like, Samus, she wants to be part of it. Samus Aran, okay, let's talk about Wonder Woman real quick. Let's talk about Ripley from Aliens. Let's talk about Sigourney Weaver. So many people say there aren't enough strong female heroes. Dude, video games. I grew up with this shit. Samus Aran, when you pass the game, part one for the Nintendo NES system, when she takes off her helmet and you realize it's a girl, it's like, holy shit, I've been playing as a girl this whole fucking time. She kicks ass. Playing all those games and knowing the history of those games is fucking dope. Same thing with Ripley. There have been strong female characters. Sarah Connor. There are strong female characters. So to say Wonder Woman is the iconic movie that we've been waiting for, it's like, ooh, it's not even written that good. And first act is okay, second act is great, and third act just sucks. It's terrible. Yay, girl power, but give me a fucking Samus Aran all fucking day. That's fucking girl power, dude. She goes into a planet by her fucking self and kicks ass. So anyways, that's all I got for that. Marvel talk, I'm going to hit Deadpool 2. PG release gets an official title. Deadpool 2's upcoming PG-13 release finally has a title, and it is Once Upon a Deadpool. The re-release of 2018 superhero comedy will be at limited engagement after beginning December 12th. That runs until Christmas Eve. It's for those of you that were too young to see the film in its original R-rated state, though it won't be a complete re-release of the film itself. Of course, they have to edit out all the fuck bombs, ship bombs, everything. There will also be a new footage added to the film via a framing device made by star Ryan Reynolds and writers Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. Only because of what I've heard about this, I'm on board. He wants to get Fred Savage, or he did get Fred Savage to do this with him. And it sounds odd, but if you guys know the movie A Princess Bride, the way Homeboy was breaking down the story to Fred Savage, Deadpool is going to be telling this story to Fred Savage, an adult Fred Savage. But that's how they want to pull it off. He's just going to tell him a story of what happened. So I would pay for that. I mean, I'm not even scratching my head. I would fucking pay for that. Next one's going to be Marvel Studios reportedly hires Wonder Woman 2 writer for an untitled film. So that's all the information I have. Wonder Woman 2 writer, after I just bashed Wonder Woman 2. Anyways, Kevin Feige addresses Marvel's plans for Disney streaming series. Okay, so one of the biggest news surprises coming from Marvel Studios in September was a report that the studio was producing live-action miniseries for Disney's upcoming premium streaming service, Disney Play. So that's pretty much what it is. They're going to move a lot of their shows over, and yeah, I mean, it's going to be their own streaming service, so why have shows on Netflix and contracts are going to be expired? And yeah, I'm curious to see where that goes. Next one's going to be interesting. Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean Eyes reboot with Deadpool writers. Johnny Depp is not. Yeah, I think he wants to do it, but they want to start off fresh and reboot Pirates of the Caribbean. Is it necessary? My opinion, fuck no. I love the fuck out of Johnny Depp, but no. Kind of ran its course too. But Disney is, Mickey Mouse is in the business of making money. So would you guys go to watch it? Are you guys over it? Like, I don't know. Next one is going to be Disney has already recouped the $4 billion it paid for Lucasfilm. Trip out on this news. With just four Star Wars films released to date, Disney has already made back the $4 billion the company spent in 2012 to purchase Lucasfilm. That happened in 2012, that the buyout. And George Lucas was, he's like, yeah, I'm ready to sell it. Like, we have way better writers. You guys know the source material. The material is there. So I'm going to, he has bank already anyways. But that Disney did fork down that much. And I believe they bought Marvel for $3 billion as well. So they spent $7 billion on both. And Marvel movies have to, by now, by this point, made them back their dividends by far by this point. So interesting for that one. Next one's going to be Disney's Scarlet Witch TV series will co-star another Avenger. While Elizabeth Olsen's Scarlet Witch will reportedly be the star of her own miniseries on Disney's upcoming premium streaming service, a new report indicates that she won't be the only Avenger to appear in the project. Next one's going to be, still, Avengers 4 trailer will drop before the end of the year. I just want to see what's going on already. Infinity War, we don't know the title. It might be Annihilation. If that's the case, cool. Captain Marvel's going to be in it. Like, I just want to see it already. Next one's going to be Marvel's Black Widow and Eternals movie, rumored for 2020 release. Nobody knows what in a fucking Eternal is. we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but they're sentient beings that used humans as, I don't know, I guess the best way to put it would be experiments, and hence how mutants were created, how, I mean, genetics for mutants, but like in humans, and that's more convoluted than any of you guys No, hopefully a lot of you guys do. Ask me questions. Next one's going to be Star Wars Episode 9, reportedly, course correction for Lucasfilm. How do you guys feel about Star Wars The Last Jedi? I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think I've dug on it, though. All right, that's all I got for comic news. So from here, I'm just going to hit comic reviews. I have a lot to go through. I'm probably only going to review two. We'll see what I can do with time. This first one's going to be a Marvel title. It's called Extermination, number 4 of 5. Ed Brisson is the writer. Pepe Larraz is the artist. Ario Anindito is the inker, the colorist. This starts off with Ahab on the prowl now after trying to kill young Scott Summers. So I did review this one a month or two ago. As now we get Cannonball, now we're arriving with a knocked out Shatterstar at the Xavier Institute. And they're now asking about the other X-Force crew and where they're at now. Young Jean Grey went with the X-Force crew, where we get some great action sequences between Domino, Young Cable, and this Crossfire now. So the way the last one I reviewed ended was pretty much they jump into his ship like they want to fuck up Young Cable because he killed older Cable. I know it sounds convoluted, but if you know these characters like I do, it's dope. So now we see Warpath is able to open up and free, or it looks like, the Young X crew. So Young Bobby Drake, Young Beast, and Young Archangel, or Angel, I guess, because he's not Archangel yet. As this goes down, though, Young Jean Grey wants answers, so there's a huge crossfire. So she uses her abilities now to suspend everyone in motion so she can finally get those answers. And she starts off by, like, why did you kill your older self? Why did you kill Cable? And Young Cable, suspended upside down, using her telepathic abilities, he says, because he wasn't doing his job. He's supposed to keep the timeline in order to squash any anomalies. And I didn't kill Cable. I am Cable. I just retired the older, less effective version. The same will happen to me one day. This is dope because it's Young Jean Grey. Young Jean Grey talking to a young Cable. And this is gnarly because the youngsters got pulled up into current timeline from the past. Like, they are adults now. In our timeline, they're adults. And Scott Summers and Jean Grey had a kid, or Madeline Pryor had a kid, and that's even going to be way more convoluted. They had a kid, and they had to send him into the future. That's Cable. So now we have these characters, but now these youngsters got brought back from the past so these older versions of themselves can look at themselves kind of in the mirror and face to face to be like, what did we lose sight of? Like, when did our passion, like, are we becoming worse off? Like, Young Beast, or I'm sorry, Old Beast, blue furry guy, brought these kids back so they can, again, see themselves like a reflection. Like, remember when we had this drive, this passion? So now these youngsters are living same timeline with their future counterparts. So that was really interesting. So young Jean Grey and young Scott, they're still youngsters. They're in their teens. They're like 17, 18. So they haven't had a kid yet. Even if they fall in love, if they don't fall in love, they still need to produce Cable. That's why it's an interesting, like, ooh, I love the fuck out of Cable. How is this going to work out? Sorry to go off on a tangent there, guys. But anyways, really cool. So now we're in Cable continues on. He continues on that he's there to save everyone. And he reveals why Ahab is also there. And he says, because one of the young X-Men dies. He's like, it's Bobby Drake, Iceman. He's like, it doesn't matter which one dies, though. And the way, again, young Cable describes it is really dope. It doesn't matter which one by this point. You'll never be able to go back and fulfill the past in the way that you were meant to. So the X-Men youngsters have to go through everything they experienced. They are fucking up the timeline because they've been in current timeline for so fucking long. He's like, no, once you pull away one facet of the past, you undo everything that one person has done. Everything changes, and not for the better. Which, you know, it was his mission, even if it looks like he's doing terrible things. Young Cable, like, you guys have to go back. And they're like, so why'd you operate on Warren Worthington the third? Angel, he's like, you guys fucked up. You guys gave him special fucking wings. It's like, you guys have to go back to the past the way you guys were. Yes, I surgically removed his wings, but I gave him regular wings back. Like, nothing too much can be altered. You guys have to go fucking back. and you guys are causing these fucked up ripple effects, and you guys are fucking up the future the longer you stay here. I'm here to send you guys back, not to kill you guys. It looked like he was offing people left and right. So it was cool, and I really enjoyed it. So that was his mission from the beginning, and as this goes down, it jumps now with panels to Cerebro, which is the underwater submarine-based type deal that an older Jean Grey has, as Ahab arrives with his crew of hounds, where they turn more of the X-Men into hounds. And now is a try to, they're getting their asses kicked. Their backs are against the wall. Ahab and his crew, they're just turning X-Men into hounds, which is a twisted version of themselves. He's using them to attack their friends. So Old Man Logan and everyone. It was really cool to see. So now as their backs again are against the walls, they get help from X-Force now as they show up, along with young Cable. But there's a really huge casualty that fucking happens. And the end of the comic is like, holy shit. Ahab killed one of the X-Men. And it happens to be young Scott Summers. It's dope to see. The art is fucking dope. It's gorgeous. Pepe Larraz is fucking killing it on this fucking title. And Ed Brisson is writing it proper. Ahab is not a C villain. He's a BC. He's a B or A villain. After I said he's not a C villain. That they made this guy a villain that's like an ass kicker. It's like, that's the villain we fucking need. So it was really cool. This is issue 4 of 5. We're going to have the wrap up next month. This month, I believe. But it was dope. It was worth talking about. Last one I'm going to hit. I might hit one more. Is going to be... I should probably hit it right now, actually. Let's see if I want to do that. I'm buying myself time. So many sheets of paper everywhere. Do I want to do any of these ones? You know what? No. We're going to hit my last review, and it's going to be a DC comic this time. It's going to be Heroes in Crisis. Number 2, Tom King is the writer, Clay Mann is the artist, Travis Moore and Tomio Murray and Arif Prianto are the inkers and colorists. This one starts off with Poison Ivy in a video confessional. So I reviewed issue number 1 last month, I will say, and it's a video confessional. Just like the prior heroes from the prior issue with her explaining why she turned to this quote-unquote sanctuary. Where she's talking now about how she's not even supposed to be there, since she points out that she's a terrorist. I'm a terrorist. I attack Gotham. I'm a villain. And it's really cool, these confessional moments. And a bunch of heroes did. Roy Harper did it the last issue. And he's like, I'm a regular dude. I'm great with a bow and arrow. And I can build some dope fucking arrows, but I'm not fucking Superman. I'm not built like these superheroes. I'm a human. I get my ass kicked. I need to turn to painkillers, and I hit the bottle, and I turned to heroin, and I'm trying to stay clean, sober. So that's what this sanctuary offers. It's the best way I can put it. So now she's fighting Batman. And then how she fights Batman. And she's still in her confession. She's like, I fight Batman. That's what I do. Then she mentions that Harley Quinn told her of this fucking place. Where she then kind of interrupts this confessional. Harley Quinn pops out. And it's some really dope moments. Some really playful scenes between Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn. It's just dope to see on page. So now, even though we don't know how much time has transpired yet at this sanctuary, quote unquote, the next page looks to be a beat up, bloodied, limping Harley Quinn now walking in the snow. We will quickly see who it is she went to see and the person she asked for help. And it happens to be the Penguin. And he says, who's coming for you? She's like, probably everyone. Then jumps now to the Trinity. So, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman as Batman is doing some sort of autopsy on one of the heroes that died at Sanctuary. And a bunch of them got butchered, which was interesting. So Batman says Sanctuary is anonymous. This allows heroes to talk about their pain and shame. All information gathered by Sanctuary is immediately deleted. Who comes, what they say, when they leave, everything is erased. Nothing is reported. Batman using the will, the heart of Wonder Woman and Superman. Like, he wanted to build a place for heroes to go to fucking talk. And this is where it's kind of beautiful and gnarly. And this is probably why it's Book of the Week. And Batman continues to work. And he's like, it needed to be anonymous. So it stayed anonymous. I know because I was there. Often. And this was really dope as we get some odd panels you don't see ever from Batman, really. Or Bruce Wayne. He has his bat fucking costume on. He has his fucking cowl on. And he's just like pacing. So he finally takes off his mask. And it's interesting. He's like, he starts giving a confession now. Again, we don't see Batman, Bruce Wayne, this vulnerable, I guess is the best way to put it. And he says, I train partners to train with me. They become my family. I've watched so many of them die. I'm sorry. So, kind of cool, again, to see the vulnerability aspect of it. Like, you know what? Looking at it, everyone needs someone to fucking talk to. So, the fact that Tom King is writing it in this way, where it's like, you know what? It makes fucking sense. Why these heroes, you can't be a hero all the time. It's okay to feel, I guess. And I know that's weird for me to say. Then jumps now to Booster Gold. And this is the dude from prior issue as Skeets finds him and explains from his recollection what's happened and how he feels about turning himself in now. So Booster Gold is like, I'm tripping. I saw Harley Quinn kill everyone at Sanctuary. And he's like, but I think I killed them. I don't know what the fuck happened. So this is just really interesting. And he takes it upon himself to want to solve this crime. Like, who the fuck killed all these heroes? Jumps back one more time now to Harley Quinn in her original outfit. And I love the fuck out of her Jester original outfit. And we haven't seen that in the longest time since Sean Murphy's Batman White Knight. Like, it's just dope to see it. And I hate this fucking new Harley Quinn. And everyone always... like, oh, she's so cute. Okay, look, what's her face is gorgeous beyond words. Yes, Margot Robbie, but that Harley Quinn is not fucking Harley Quinn. So now getting confronted by the Big Three. So she's in like a warehouse type of deal, and the Big Three hit her up. So Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. Even in saying this, let me premise it by saying, like, as Batman is doing the autopsy, he's like, Bruce, like, you created this sanctuary. Like, I know in case we go rogue, you want to be able to stop us. He's like, I trust you, but like, he's like, good, you should trust me. And Superman's like, dude, you probably have kryptonite in your fucking belt right now. He's like, I do not have kryptonite in my fucking belt. It was just a weird, funny fucking page, and it makes sense now, and it's going to make sense more to you guys right now. So again, this confrontation goes down. They fucking track Harley Quinn. It's kind of subtle but kind of smooth, as we see now how big of a dick Batman really is. And before this goes down, it jumps back now to a sanctuary scene again, and another confessional, and this time it's with Diana, with Wonder Woman now making this confession about how her mother was murdered and how she doesn't want to quite cope with it yet. And it's Wonder Woman. So the fact that she is in this confession, and it's like, you know what? It's okay to get it out. And she's like, nope, I have to put those feelings, emotions in the back burner because I have to save shit. Like, that's her interpretation of it. and the psychological aspect on how the psychological kick can be more strenuous than a physical kick sometimes, and for certain people. So the fact that she's like, nope, I shouldn't. And you can see her getting emotional about it, but the fact that she doesn't want to, I guess, confront it yet. We're all like that, right? I mean, we kind of are. Anyways, that's why I dug this so much. So now she doesn't want to cope with it. Now we get an odd twist back to, we see Lois Lane getting a package sent from someone of Arsenal, of Roy Harper's confession. And how, like I said, like he mentions the drug things. So it jumps back now to this confrontation between the big three. So the Trinity, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman. And they confront Harley Quinn. And it's really cool. She goes for the empathy card. She tricks Diana, gets in close enough. She's able to steal her lasso of truth. And she's able to get a quick one over on Batman, which is interesting. And it kind of makes sense, I guess. The way Tom King is writing it, it's like, okay, it kind of makes sense. She uses the lasso on Batman, and she's like, all right, I know you have something that's going to stop the boy in blue, Superman. He's like, and it's the lasso of truth, so you have to tell the truth. Batman's like, yeah, it's in my fucking left pocket. And Superman, and they know it's Batman, so of course he's going to have a contingency plan. But the way she's able to escape because of these small nuances like that is interesting. And it's not my Harley Quinn, but to see her in this old Harley Quinn outfit again, it's like, ooh, it feels right somehow. She's able to get away. And it almost ends there. The last few pages, or last page, I guess, now, is Clark Kent's confession. So Superman's confession. And this one was kind of interesting. I'm not a Superman fan. I don't like Boy Scouts. I don't like the boy in blue. It's not to be so powerful and to... he has to be written proper. And I've read some Superman, a lot of Superman, and he just doesn't do it for me. Give me tragic, something I can relate to. Superman is the opposite of what I relate to. I'm not happy-go-lucky, but this one was kind of cool. Tom King writes it, and it's pretty much now Superman, Clark Kent, in his confession, saying how his identities are so mixed up. He's like, I'm not from here. I feel alone. Like, this is not my world. I'm here as Clark Kent. Like, I'm pretending to be something I'm not, because I can't be myself every day. And I save people. And I'm supposed to be strong. Like, I know who I am as Superman. And that's who I am. But I'm putting up a front to everyone all the time. Like, am I trying to be a worse person or goofy to fit in with people as Clark Kent? Or when I'm Superman, when I'm the person I'm supposed to be, like, which is the balance? And looking at it from that aspect, I get it. Like, all these confessionals from each of these characters has been dope. And grounded. And I love Tom King and his writing. He fucking does that. He attacks them in a weird fucking way. And it's beautiful to me. So yeah. That's all I got for reviews. That's honestly it. And thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys dug this. This was a weird one, I think. Not enough energy. But I hope you guys like those. That's all I got to say from there. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Thank you guys for everything. You guys are rad. Awesome. RG and I are banking up more deep dives and rabbit holes tomorrow. And subscribe to the podcast. Share the podcast more than anything. if you guys want to send me articles that I can start reading again for you guys, just to share and shoot the shit, and would be dope. If you guys have any questions for me for episode 250 coming up around the corner, if you guys have lists on your own or of your own of what you dug the fuck out of this year, please send those to me. I will be happy to read those on air for you guys. Songs that stand out to you, movies, shows, Netflix, TV shows, whatever it is. Hulu, whatever you guys have, I'm more than happy to do it. It's just making more time for everyone, or trying to lately. It feels good. And yeah, that's all I got. All right, guys, I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.